Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
So I want to encourage you, you can write this down. If you like titles, you can write down Break Camp. Break Camp. If you don't know who I am, by the way, I'm one of the pastors here at Wave Church. My name is Josh, and I have the honor and privilege of serving here at Wave Church. I'm thankful that we're a part of a church that has vision. Not just to have our little holy huddle, but to reach our city, to reach the nation, and to reach the world. If you don't like that title, if you've tuned in online and you're like, I already don't like your title, Josh, but I got another one for you. You can write this down. If you don't like Break Camp, you can write down, it's time to turn. It's time to turn. It's time to turn. I've got some friends with me here live as well, and I'm just going to ask them to help me preach, and I'm just going to assume that there's some amens coming through the live stream. And if for whatever reason I feel like they're not, I'm going to ask for them anyway. And let's fill the atmosphere with amens. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
If you're at home, turn to your neighbor, which you are at home or wherever you are, say, hey, it's time to turn. It's time to turn. Deuteronomy 1, we're going to read out of the Bible because that's what I'm speaking from this morning. This is an interesting moment in Scripture in God's Word. And I was reading this not too long ago because I'm behind already in my Bible reading plan. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I was reading, and as I was reading what was kind of a mundane moment of Scripture for me, the Holy Spirit stopped me at a statement and at a sentence and said, Josh, this is for you, and it's for Wave Church, and it's for anybody listening this morning. It's in Deuteronomy 1, and I'm going to go straight down to verse 5. And it says this, to give a little bit of context, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, they've been wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, for quite some time now, 40 years. And then God says this, east of the Jordan in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law. If you don't know who Moses is leading these people. And he says this, God says to us at Horeb, otherwise known as Mount Sinai, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Wherever you are watching, maybe turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you've stayed here long enough. But not really. You can stay and watch the end of this service. You've stayed here. God says to his people, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. And then verse 7, it says this, and this is where the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks. God says this, break camp and advance. Break camp and advance. The verse goes on to say, as God is saying, I want you to break camp and I want you to advance into the promised land of what I've been calling you to go and to be and to enjoy. Verse 8 says, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give you to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to the descendants after them. Break camp and advance. Can I get an amen? I'm getting no amens live here, so I'm going to ask for some amens through the stream. Why don't we pray? Before we pray, as I was praying this morning, I really felt like that God wants to and he's going to heal people wherever you are in your living room, your bedroom. And as we pray right here, right now, I believe there's going to be people that are going to be healed, physically healed in your body. And there's rooms right now where you have been struggling with panic and fear and anxiety. And I believe the peace of God is going to invade your room and invade your heart. You're literally going to feel anxiety leave and fear leave your room. And I the Holy Spirit encouraged me. I feel like God told me there's people watching and you're not even sure if you believe in God yet. He's going to heal you anyway. You're not even sure if you believe in God and you're going to feel anxiety leave the room that you're in. So I want to encourage you, if you have a friend, text up right now. I want everybody to be a part of what God is going to do. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. Holy Spirit, God, we thank you. God, that you are still seated on the throne. God, as much as maybe we have been surprised as a human race by what is going on in our world, I thank you that you're not surprised. And God, I thank you, God, that your church really is the hope of the world. The church is unstoppable. The church is built for this. God, I thank you in times like this where we can still be in community. We thank you for technology. God, we thank you this morning, God, for everybody that's watching. And right now, God, could it be that maybe we see more people ever in a time of history hear the gospel through online and through technology. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now. There you are. God, in every single living room, every bedroom, every office, wherever people are watching, God, you're healing people. There you are. God, Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, for healing and miracles. Right now, God, I thank you. I declare in the name of Jesus for your peace. God, to invade every living room, every bedroom. God, for fear, for anxiety, for panic to go in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you because there's so many people watching online. I just pray for a sense of unity as we pray for the New York Jets whenever the NFL season is going to come back. And everybody said, amen. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you realized you overstayed your welcome. Maybe, you know, sometimes you weren't socially aware that you had overstayed your welcome. Sometimes it's painfully obvious that you overstayed your welcome. Brooke and I, my wife, we've been living with my parents for 5 months now because we sold our house and we've been looking to buy another one. And we had this grand idea that we would find that house and, you know, in like a couple of days, and then we'd be able to move out and it would be fine. And I'm not saying that we've overstayed our welcome. My parents have been so gracious and so amazing. But what I do know is that our dog has overstayed his welcome. And I want you to pray for him. There was a time in my life where it was probably the scariest moment of me realizing that I have overstayed my welcome, and it has to do with a dog. And I think I was in middle school, and we were playing soccer in the backyard. And this happens as kids, as parents, I'm sure, you know, they kick the ball over the fence into the neighbor's yard. And this had happened in the yard that we kicked the ball into. This neighbor had some dogs, and they were ferocious, vicious dogs. And so if we saw the dogs were in the backyard, we wouldn't go try and get the ball. We would just go find another one, and we would wait for the dogs to go inside. This particular day, kicked the ball over the fence. For whatever reason, that day we only had one ball, and the ball goes over the fence, and I'm with some of my friends, and Justin Hopkins was there. I vividly remember him being there because I remember, as I'm going to tell the story, he did absolutely nothing to help me in what took place. And the ball goes over the fence, and we turn to our friends. I'm like, all right, guys, you guys see any dogs? I don't see any dogs. I don't hear any dogs. And everybody's kind of looking at each other, right? Well, who's going to go? You know, here. And I told everybody, I said, all right, I'll go. Here I am, Lord, send me. And so I began to make my way over the fence. This is not the type of fence that you could just jump over. This is the type of fence that you have to climb over. And as I made my way over to the yard, I remember telling the guys, if you see the dogs, I need you to let me know so I don't die. And so I began to walk my way over to the ball. It was about 60 feet away, or maybe it was like 3 miles away. I can't remember for the sake of exaggeration. And I made my way to the ball. And as soon as I bent down to grab the ball, it was like I could sense and feel evil was lurking around me. And I never forget Justin, he said my name, but the way that he said my name, Josh, was with fear and with trembling, and I knew something was wrong, and I picked up my head and I made direct eye contact with not one, not two, but three vicious dogs. And I knew that I had overstayed my welcome because in unison they all tilted their head to the side, not in the cute way, but in the way that we're about to murder your soul way. And I don't know if you've ever ran from a dog, but it's terrifying. And so I began to sprint, and you know, my friends are like cheering me on, like, Josh, you can do it, you can make it, you can survive. And I'm running, and there's a point where the dog catches up to you, and so your run turns into like a forced skip because you're trying to avoid being bitten by these dogs, and they're gnashing. I feel like there's just demons gnashing behind me at my calf and at my heel, and I make it to the fence, and I realize I can't climb over this fence. I have to try and leap over this fence. And all of us have tried before. None of us had ever been able to just jump over the fence without making contact with the fence. But I don't know if angels showed up and grabbed my arms and turned them into wings, but I flew over that fence. I've jumped the highest I've ever jumped in my entire life. I made it over and rolled to the other side of the fence. And I remember you know, screaming, guys, I've been hit. I've been hit. Sam was like, dude, this isn't war, Josh. It was a dog. I said, look at my knee. There was blood on my knee. And Sam was like, you probably just scraped your knee. Dog didn't bite you. And I wish I could tell you that these three dogs were German Shepherds. I wish I could tell you these three dogs were pit bulls, maybe even bulldogs, but they weren't. The three dogs looked kind of like this. And I got attacked by Paw Patrol. And parents, don't let your kids fool you. Don't let that show fool you. I realized in that moment that I had overstayed my welcome in their territory. That I'd overstayed my welcome in their backyard. And I know this is a silly story, but stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Because here is God speaking directly to his people, directly to his church, letting them know, hey, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and advance to the promised land of what I've called you to go, do, and be. And I don't know who this is for this morning. But I really sense that God wants to encourage you and challenge you and compel you. There's some mountains that you and your family and your business, you have overstayed your welcome, and it is time to break camp into an advance of what God has called you to do, what God has called you to be. The promises of God that he has for you, it's time to advance. This Christian life is not a life of comfortable coasting. This Christian life is a life of taking faith steps into the promises that he has for you. I wonder this morning, think about this. What mountain have you overstayed your welcome? Think about that. What mountain have you overstayed? Is it the mountain of bitterness? Is it the mountain of unforgiveness? Is it the mountain of complacency? Is it the mountain of lukewarm Christianity? Is it the mountain of shame? Is it the mountain of fear? Is it the mountain of anxiety? Is it the mountain of I'm not good enough? I wonder what mountain today have you overstayed your welcome, and God is compelling you this morning, hey, it's time to break camp in advance. Now, I need to clarify something, because if you're like me, I read a verse like this, and I hear the awesomeness of, yes, I'm going to advance into the promised land that God has for me, and I tend to skip over what God said before, advance. God said break camp in advance. Therefore, I cannot advance into the promises of God if I am not willing to break camp. There's something interesting. I was talking to Pastor Joe, or Rabbi Joe, about this text, and he did some research and found out that break camp in the original text, in the original language, actually means, I'm gonna read this because I want to make sure I get it right. It means to turn from or to leave behind. To turn from, if you have some coffee or OJ here this morning, now's the time to take a sip. Because what we tend to do is skip the breaking camp part and try the advancing part. But break camp means to turn from, to leave behind. I've heard it said before, our yes to Jesus is only as powerful as our no to the world. I wonder this morning, what is it in your life that you need to leave behind? What is it in your life that you need to turn from? Now, what's interesting about this verse that we just read is this place where God is compelling his people and almost commanding his people to break camp in advance. This place is also known as Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is where God called and established his covenant with his people. And I love that God says this, because it's almost as if he is reminding his people and reminding his church and reminding you and I this morning that this gospel is not just about having our little holy huddle on Sundays. It's not just about soaking in his presence. And especially in a time like this, it is not just about sitting on our hands and waiting for God to move. But no, the church at some point needs to go beyond being the church on Sunday and begin being the hands and the feet of Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I love that God reminds us this is not just about soaking it in, but this gospel is about being poured out. And I think about what is going on in the world that we are living in right now, and I'm fairly certain that right now that the devil himself is maybe chuckling, and maybe even has hope, and banking on the fact that the church in this season of life around the world is going to decline. And because maybe we can't meet physically, that maybe the church is gonna stop giving. And maybe the church is gonna stop reaching. And maybe the church in this season of the world that we're living in is gonna stop advancing, and it's not gonna move forward. But I would beg to differ, because my Bible says that Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against it. So I wanna speak and encourage and remind you and I as the church, what if in this season of the world that we are living, what if the church moved forward? What if we started to give more? What if we started to reach out more? What if we started to evangelize more? What if we began to love more? What if finally your neighbor found out that you were a Christian because you invited them to watch with you online, church together? What if? What if we move forward? What if at this time in history we saw more people hear the gospel than ever before? More people saved and joined Wave Church and joined other churches than we've ever seen before. The church is the hope of the world. And in case you were unaware, the church is built for this. This season of life we are living in the world that we're living in, the church is built for this. Can I get an amen? I was preparing this message, I want to say hello to my daughter, Liv. I know she's watching this morning. I hope you enjoyed Paw Patrol up here. As I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Josh, don't forget, not only are there some things that you've overstayed your welcome, but there's things in your life that you've allowed in your heart that have overstayed their welcome. And I think if we're being honest this morning, there's awesome, we all have some things that we've allowed to creep into our hearts and our minds and our spirit that God never called us to carry. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do, how you respond in the world that we're living in, the actions, the decisions you make, it flows from it. I'm going to talk about two things quickly this morning that we, if we're not careful, we will allow, especially this in the time that we are living in, we will allow to creep in to our hearts that God hasn't called us to carry. The first one is this, is fear. Fear. The funny thing about fear is it will find any way to infiltrate your life. It's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't care who you are. If fear can find a way in, it will make its way in. But 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that tell me? That tells me that the devil uses fear, not God. The devil uses fear and God uses faith. Now, if you keep reading the verses that we read earlier in Deuteronomy about the people of God advancing and taking the promised land, God uses a leader called Joshua after Moses to lead his people and take the promised land, and it's exactly what they do. What is interesting is that this amazing leader, Joshua, who leads these people, God has to tell him multiple times to fear not. That encourages me because that tells me if I struggle with fear, I'm in good company. But God tells Joshua, fear not. And he also tells us, and I'm thankful for this, God also tells Joshua and you and I why we have the ability to not fear. In the face of opposition, in the face of a virus, in the face of panic, how is it as Christians that we can hear from God, fear not, and really fear not? Because God says, for I am with you. Fear not. Not because you're awesome, not because you're gifted, not because you're strong. But fear not, because I'm with you. So that tells me if I'm struggling with fear, then I've simply forgotten who's with me. If I'm struggling with fear, which I do, and I have, I've just simply forgotten who's with me. I'm gonna take another sip of coffee. Reminds water. I wish it was coffee. I've shared this story, this illustration before. I'm gonna share it again because I believe it's important for you and I this morning of understanding the power of who's with us. I went to private school in middle school, and then we changed, and I went to public school in high school, which is a great move for me, except that first year or two, I struggled to try to fit in and make friends. I was nervous. I was insecure, and to the point where I would just avoid people in the hallways. A fight would break out. I would just avoid it. I was just trying to make it to class. I wasn't worried about maybe making it on time, but I just wanted to get there at some point. And then finally I meet an individual named Davey Dworsky. Davey is who you saw worship leading this morning. We've been in community group together ever since we met. And Davey, if you know anything about Davey, I don't know if you could tell, but he's a little bit taller than I am, a little bit stronger than I am, was a little bit cooler, a lot cooler than I am. And in high school, people knew Davey. People knew Davey was on the basketball team. People knew that you don't mess with Davey. And for whatever reason, Davey wanted to be my friend, and I wanted to be his friend. And so what would I do? I began to walk through the hallways of my high school with Davey, and so people started to realize, who is this little pipsqueak walking with Davey? I don't know. We're not going to mess with him because he's walking with Davey. And before I met Davey, there was this insecurity and timidness and fear as I walked through the hallways. But now as I walk with Davey through the hallways, and I understand because I'm with Davey and nobody messes with Davey, I don't have this fear anymore, and I'm walking around like I'm 6 foot tall. Now fights are breaking out. I'm like, Davey, I've never been in a fight, but dude, let's do this. It even got to the point where even if Davey was not with me, people would not mess with me because they knew who I associated with. And I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you are in the season of life we are living in, when you understand that the creator of the heavens and the earth is not only with you, but he's before you, he's within you, he's behind you, he's beside you, he is with you. Suddenly this courage begins to well up inside of you because you understand the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's with you. You are never alone. Never alone. And there are some demons that will just not waste their time with you because they know who you are associated with. You know what fear hates is faith. Faith that speaks. What I love about when we speak faith is it calls out the lies of fear. And I believe it's a time for the church to not get caught hiding in fear, but to get caught speaking in faith. Where in your life right now, there's the obvious with what's going on in the world that we live in. But even beyond that, where can we begin to speak by faith? And as fear begins to creep in, I'm just going to speak by faith. As fear begins to creep in and lie to me that I'm alone, I'm going to speak by faith. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. What am I trying to say? It's time to turn from fear and turn to faith. It's time to turn from fear and turn to faith. I'm almost done. If you haven't invited or texted somebody, why don't you do it now? Share on Facebook. Number two is this. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. Number two is this. The second thing that we allow into our hearts, that there are times that God does not want us to allow into our hearts is silence. Silence. Did you know that the enemy is working overtime to keep you silent? Especially right now, the enemy is doing everything that he can to keep the church silent, to keep you from praising. And I've come to the conclusion that the devil probably knows the power of praise better than we do. You say, well, why do you think that? Well, one, the devil used to be in charge of it. It used to be his job. He got kicked out of heaven. Two is the devil wanted the praise for himself, so he hates when he doesn't get it. And he really doesn't like when you praise God instead of him. He also hates praise because he knows a praising person has acknowledged that the battle is not their own, but it's God's. And things tend to go a lot differently when we allow God to handle our business instead of us trying to handle it on our own. The issue is there are too many Christians who, instead of praising, they are silent. And it's because of this, because we've allowed the enemy to dictate our instrument of praise. I'm reminded when I was in band class in middle school, it was mandatory, not musically gifted like my siblings. And I remember the first day of class and the teacher, I can't remember what her name was, so I'm just going to say Miss Sandy. I'm sorry if your name is Sandy. Miss Sandy went around and gave everybody their instruments, and then there's cool instruments and then there's not so cool instruments. I remember thinking, well, if I'm going to be in band class, I may as well play one of the cool instruments. And I remember I saw the snare drum, and I was like, that's it. I'm a snare drummer. I'm a drummer. I'm going to play the drums. And Miss Sandy began to pass out the instruments, gave people xylophones and harps and trombones. I don't know if you're impressed with my musical knowledge, but. And then she gave this kid named Bobby the drum. I remember thinking, Bobby's not even coordinated. Why are you giving him the drum? I want the drum. And then she walked over to me. And I was like, there's got to be another drum somewhere. Percussion. And she handed me a recorder. I don't like recorders. Recorders aren't cool. I also don't like recorders because when the band plays, nobody can hear you. And it sounds like this. I just want to warn your ears. No conductor has ever asked for a recorder solo. I want to be heard. So we would play and I would have my little recorder. And I don't know if you've ever disliked somebody so much that you fantasized about them getting fired, but I have. And I thought to myself, if Miss Sandy got fired, you know what I would do? I would put down my recorder and I would push Bobby aside because you're out of rhythm, Bobby. And I would grab the drumstick and I would start playing the drums. And you know what? I know it's a little weird, but I imagined if Miss Sandy came back to class after being fired and tried to tell me, hey, Josh, what are you doing on the drums? You should be playing the recorder. I would tell Miss Sandy before I started drowning her out with my drum, Miss Sandy, you got fired. So you don't have the right to tell me what instrument I get to play with. And there's some Christians, and the reason why we are silent is because we've allowed the enemy to decide and dictate the instrument of our praise. The thing that I love about praise, and the thing I love about beating the drum, is when I praise with my drum instead of the recorder, I cannot hear the lie of the enemy. And so when the enemy comes into my situation and tries to lie and tell me why I don't have a reason to praise, I will just beat my drum louder and praise even louder, because there is only one who decides the instrument of my praise, and it is the King of Kings and it is the Lord of Lords. I realized something about the devil is he got fired. And so you don't get to conduct my praise. And every time you try to tempt me to be silent and pick up my recorder again, I will turn to my drum and I will praise. You know the thing about this recorder? Is it was cheap. I think it cost $5 or $6. It's cheap praise. And you know what the devil hates? Expensive praise. That snare drum, it's gonna cost a lot more than that recorder. It's called sacrificial praise. And the devil really hates when the church starts praising God like he's already done the thing that they've been leaving for him to do. And we stop caring about the outcome and we just start caring about giving him praise and glory no matter what life may look like. Because we know God still sits on the throne, and I really believe it's the time for the church to put the recorder aside and get our drum again and begin to praise in such a way where God, it doesn't matter what we come up against. God, I'm gonna praise my way through. You know there's battles in God's word where the only way they won was through praise. The only weapon they had. There are some seasons in your life where the only weapon that you possess is praise. And we begin to praise him. And we begin to face the opposition of whatever it may be in your life right now, whatever we are facing collectively. As we praise God and drown out the lies of the enemy and drown out the fear and the anxiety of the enemy, we are letting God know, God, this battle is yours. God, this is your business to handle. This is not mine. My job is simply to praise. I'm gonna put down my recorder because the devil got fired a long time ago. And church, I pray, we understand the church really is the hope of the world. This is a time. This is a time not to get caught living in fear, not to just be thinking about ourselves, but to be the church. And to praise, get caught praising him, get caught living by faith. And if you're here this morning, wherever you are, wherever you're watching from, I want to encourage you, it's no accident, no coincidence that you are watching right now. And God has orchestrated for you to hear this message, to watch this service, because catch this, friend, he loves you. He loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he gave everything he had to give in his son Jesus to die for you, to live the perfect life that you and I could never live. And he died on a cross. And while he was on that cross and suffocating on that cross, he was thinking of you. And when he died, he really did die. And he went to the deep pit of hell and didn't leave empty-handed. He took the keys of death and he rose from the grave, defeating the devil, defeating death, defeating who he used to be. Jesus rose from the grave And that is the gospel that we preach, friend, is that just as you are, right here and right now, friend, God loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He's got promises for your life. No matter how broken you feel, how lost you feel, how empty you feel, how alone you feel, friend, God loves you. He's with you. He's for you. Five people online have already made decisions. You can click the button on the screen. Right now, you can text your friends, remind them to watch this message. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus this morning, friend, I want to encourage you. Let us know. Comment in the comment section. Click the link. Let us know you made this decision. I'm really praying and believing this next season for the church and for Wave Church, we see more people give their lives to Jesus. Friend, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. None of us are good enough. That's why Jesus died. We are all in need of a Savior, no matter how young or how old. If you're watching this morning, say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Just click that button. Just type in the comments, say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Say, why do I need to click the button? Because it just lets us know, A, that you made that decision, and as a church, we're going to pray for you. But it also gives us the opportunity just to reach out to you and pray for you if you want prayer, or come alongside you, or if you are in need in this next season as a church, it's our passion and responsibility to do everything we can to care for each other, continue to make decisions, continue to click that button. I want to encourage you, let us know you made that decision. We'd love to remind you that you're not alone. We'd love to remind you that as a church, we're with you, we're for you, that God's with you, He's for you. I really feel the Holy Spirit is even healing people right now, and that's going to be the thing that's going to let you know, wow, God, this thing is for real. God is for real. And there's people right now, and you can feel anxiety lifting and leaving your room, and you can feel this peace. It's like a heaviness is leaving your room. Friend, that's the presence of an almighty God. He's not angry. He's not mad. Maybe you're watching this morning, and you used to follow Jesus. You used to be a Christian, but if you're being honest with yourself, you turn from God, you started turning to who you used to be. Friend, God is not angry, God is not mad. And He is the God of as many chances, as many times we need to turn, as over 100 people have made decisions. God is not angry, God is not mad. As many chances as you and I need. So Josh, that's me. If you're watching on Facebook, comment in the Facebook section. Let us know you made that decision. If you're a Christian and you're praying right now and you're watching, encourage people, write in the comments, congratulations, we're praying for you. Holy Spirit is moving. I think the devil is beginning to understand and realize that what he thought maybe would work in his favor is not anymore. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you, if you're watching, you can still click that button, make that decision. And again, we'd love to reach out to you. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you. And you can still join a community group. We may not be able to meet in physical locations, but we can meet online together. And if we need care, we need something, we can come alongside each other. That's the whole point of the church, is doing life together. Why don't we say this prayer? If you made that decision, we're going to say this prayer together as a church family. If you just want to repeat this after me, say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, for giving me my sins. Raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm going to live for you. Everybody said, amen. I wonder if all across wherever we are watching, if we could just lift up a shout of praise wherever you are in your home, your living room.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.